This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Harvest Vintage. Are you a collector? Blue Harvest love to help you find that missing piece you need to complete your collection. They have extensive stock of vintage Star Wars vehicles and mint on card action figures, as well as new The Force Awakens and Black Series items. Blue Harvest have Funko Pops, Lego, Dinky, Corgi, Matchbox and more. Everything a collector could possibly need. If they don't stock it, then let them know, and their knowledgeable staff will be only too pleased to help. Head to Morley Market in Leeds to see the life-size Darth Vader. Alternatively, reach out to Blue Harvest on Twitter, at Blue Harvest UK, Facebook, Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles, a website, blueharvestvintage.co.uk, or email at blueharvesttoys@gmail.com.
Welcome to TSW After Dark Side. You want this, don't you?
Yeah, it'd be nice. We've never been. And I've already worked out the offset, and it's about 250 quid, which is all right.
Yeah.
They will buy 2.5 acres of rainforest. Offsetting's not perfect, but it's the best we can do.
Yeah, well, it's important to you, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't feel... Cause it's 8 tonnes of carbon to fly there.
That's amazing.
I've already done 14 acres this year anyway, but I'll just do a little fundraising. Oh, hang on, that can't be right. That's even cheaper. No, that can't be right.
No, that's not the right place. Ow. That's Reethy.
Oh, that's Reethy Beach. We're not going to Reethy Beach. That's quite cheap, though. That's two.
Oh, hang on. What's going on here?
I don't know. What's happened there?
Oh, Rob's on.
Hello.
Hello, mate. Shit. You all right?
The fuck? Why is it so loud in my ears?
I don't know. You just came through very, very loud.
You was landing in a spaceship.
Yeah, let me just turn the gain. Oh, the gain's right up. Here we go. Any better?
That's better, mate. Yeah.
Yeah? All right, cool. I can hear myself without hearing myself scream at me.
Steve's just shopping for holidays, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Where are you thinking, Steve?
We've found another one, a Reethy Beach, Mark, in the Maldives, Rob.
Rubbish.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you say it looks rubbish? It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, Steve, you see that picture behind me?
Behind you? Oh, hang on, I'm not on. Hang on.
You should be still able to see him.
Yeah. That picture there.
That's Commando, is it?
That picture there is Commando.
Ah.
Sunset.
Nice.
See the picture behind me?
You can go to Reethy Beach.
That's a
Reethy Beach sounds nice. Well, but I don't know if it's...
You can go there and go to the other place.
They all look nice, though, don't they? Some of them, Mark, we were looking the other day for a laugh, and they were coming up 22 grand per person.
Yeah, but it was like a 4-star, but...
This is a 4-star.
4-star what? Fucking jet.
Commando is adult.
4 actual diamonds.
Well, I don't know. Did I tell you the story about the personal jet Lisa and I were looking at?
Go on.
No.
Right.
What?
A couple of weeks ago.
How many subscribers have we got now?
No, we're not. Let's not discuss that. A couple of weeks ago, we were sitting in the garden, we were talking about holidays, and then Lisa said, look, if I'm going to fly one day, I'd like to fly in a personal jet. And I said, well,
okay.
Talk Star Wars has got quite a way to go before we get to that.
All right, so it's not that good news then. All right, fair enough.
No, she said, just that, because like Steve, we were saying that flying to the Maldives is an absolute pig unless you can get a direct flight.
Right.
And she said, well, can we have a look and see what it would cost to get a jet? So I said, all right, we'll have a look. So I went online, started looking, couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. Found a couple of private hire companies for jets. Mm. And I'm just telling the jet story. And cameras on, though, so be careful because you're walking around naked. There is now. Steve's putting the camera on now.
Naked Steve is here too, don't worry.
Naked Steve and Naked Lisa.
I'll look out of place. Put the shirt on.
So, I found this company and... Lisa said, have a look, price up how much it would cost. Now, I could only find a company that would fly to Europe private jets locally, but nothing had prices on it. Because obviously, if you can afford to hire a private jet, numbers are the last thing you worry about, right?
Yeah.
It's like those posh shops in, So, like the ones in around the corner from where I work, actually. But it's like if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
That's it, yeah. That's exactly it. So I downloaded this app, and I've still got the app on my phone. Hang on, I'll tell you what it's called. It's let me see. It's called Europe Air. I don't know if you can see that on there.
Just about, right. Yeah.
Europe Air. So I opened that up, and I chose the entry-level jet. It was a Citation 2, and we wanted to fly it into Europe. So we were looking to fly to Lanzarote. And Lisa said, come on, how much is it? Getting impatient, you know. I said, I don't know. I can't see any prices. All I can see is a phone number. Oh, no, that's not a phone number. That's the price.
That is the price. Oh, my God.
Over £19,000 just to fly to Lanzarote on a private jet.
Hell.
Yeah, so we'll put that off for a little while.
Yeah. The Jeez. Talk Star Wars will be making its own way to Comic Cons via coach class.
Yeah,
well, traveling steering.
No, not coach like class. Titanic. On an actual coach. Right, are we good to kick off then? Everyone got show notes?
Let me just bring them up. Yeah. I should be good to go.
Mark, do you have to tip a lot?
You don't have to tip at all.
I'm not going to.
You can tip at the end of the holiday.
What do you ask then? What does it matter?
I don't want them standing there going with their hand open because I feel bad.
No, what you do is you stand there and go,
I'm naked Steve. Oh. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah. Wait, look, he might be wearing a shirt. That would be awesome if you got that.
Well, if you're wearing a t-shirt, it needs to be the TSW.
You do the Vinnie Jones thing, the snatch Vinnie Jones thing. You put your card in, you type your PIN number in, you get your receipt, and then you lean back in your chair and go, now. Fuck off.
I think, in fact, they encourage you not to tip, Steve.
Okay.
When you're like that sort of ultra all inclusive, they.
I've always wondered about those things as well because we're not from those cultures. We don't know what.
Yeah, exactly.
You said you can.
Quite a rudeness.
They went quiet.
Yes, because I was drinking. Everyone was watching me drink, thinking, oh, look at that lovely wow. Frothy bottle of suds. Everyone good to go? Steve, you still with us? Stephen?
Bad, hello, mate. Ready when you are?
Yeah,
you can screen grab it, Mark.
Yeah, we'll do a screen grab. Steve, can you put your camera on?
Oh, no.
Just do a heads-up shot.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be anything.
We have bare shoulders. We've got a gimmick to put.
Jen's behind me.
Oh, my.
Is it Naked Jen as well?
It's not even my birthday.
Huh?
Is it Naked Jen night?
Jen, lean back.
Lean back, Jen. I won't take the screen grab at that exact moment, I promise.
Totally not. Fuck off.
All right.
You want a bit of arm in... So you can see I'm naked.
That's good. Yeah, everyone's got
that's money
that.
Right there.
And married, so none of the girls come on to me.
There you go. That's money right there.
They still will do. And I'm going to hold up my Stormtrooper notepad that I take show notes in.
Okay. Have I got anything? Oh, yeah, here we go. I got something Star Wars themed nearby.
What have I got? Star Wars. Give me a pair of pants.
That'll be brilliant.
On your head, no less.
Here's a pair of those pants.
Awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
Ready, go.
Did they start off red, Steve?
Oh.
Got a Han on the other side. Yeah, look.
Nice.
Got a Han on.
Oh, my. Do you want to look at the gusset, Rob?
Yeah.
Jen? Can you get
look
me
at this
photo,
by the way. Ridiculous.
Please.
I clearly don't realise I'm being photographed until the last second.
That's that paedophile that was on TV. Oh, my. I can't figure out which ear is which. What does that say?
L.
L.
Give you a clue, Steve.
It looked like a number 7 upside down. Oh, my.
I've only got 2 ears. How am I supposed to get up to 7? Why are there only 2 cups and one says 7? Did the other one say 14?
Boom, tweet's going in.
Yay.
Right.
You haven't started recording yet, Mark, have you?
Yeah.
Not even for After Dark Side as well?
Well, yeah, this was probably the bit that will go out After Dark Side. I cut all this bit up. Right, I'm stopping this recording. And anything you want to say fine. Before we go to the main show?
Titty sprinkles.
Titty sprinkles to the main Pace. Show. No, oh, that's your only premium one of the night. Right, I am recording
how's things?
Again.
All right, cool. So how's things?
Good.
Yeah? Do you go and see Suicide Squad?
I haven't done anything.
No?
Nope.
You say done nothing, you mean you've just been sort of, you've been working, and then when you're not working, you're kind of
doing
just chilling.
Talk Star Wars thing. Yeah, well, I don't chill. Yeah. I don't chill. I am, it's either work the day job or work this job or sleep. Like last night I started, the intention was to download the Han Solo comics because I noticed there was only two out, so I'm not too far behind.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, no, I'll make a start on that. And I got a couple of pages into it and then fell asleep reading it. Now, that's not an indictment on the quality of the comic book because it looks spectacular and I think it's going to be a pretty good story, but I just couldn't get my eyes on.
I started watching the first episode of The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, I love that.
I'm not sure. It's kind of... Does it take a couple of episodes to get you hooked?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably fair.
I watched the first episode, and I will say that it intrigued me, and it intrigued me enough that I'm probably going to keep going with it. Rufus Sewell is obviously amazing because he's amazing at everything he does.
Yeah, it's a really good cast, actually.
It's a great cast. It's a really strong, really strong bunch of actors and actresses. It's just good. You know, it's an interesting premise. I did try with the book once. I had an audio book of the Philip K. Dick story, and it just is one of those ones where it was nothing wrong with the book, it was nothing really wrong with the narrator, but it just kind of was
felt
a bit
to capture
dry.
Your imagination.
Yeah, it was just a bit dry and a bit, you know, it was fine, I guess. That's all right. It was all right. You know, it was fine. It was perfectly good. It was just didn't grab me.
Well, the show is one of those things that I think it definitely benefits from the binge watch.
Okay. Yeah, see, I'm doing commute watching, so I don't know if I'm going to have that option.
Right. Yeah, Lisa and I watched it, I guess it was early this year.
Yeah.
But I think they're getting about, because that was one of those Amazon pilot season things, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
That actually went to series, and now I think they're getting ready to launch season two, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it has more to tell.
It's got more to tell.
Okay.
But I loved it. It's such a great concept.
Yeah.
And we just sat and just binged the whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of good stuff on Amazon. I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of that Bosch.
Oh, what's it called? Bosch. Yeah, I love Bosch.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Titus Welliver is brilliant.
He's great. I love
really
him.
He's so good.
I watched Constantine on there. I really like that.
I only watched one episode. I'd need to get back into that.
I'd give it a go. The problem I think it ran into was it was too similar to Supernatural. And even though Constantine did it first on the comic side, because it predates Supernatural by some years, I think Supernatural got in there first on the TV side. So Constantine just looked like a poor man's version.
Right. Okay.
And it's a shame. I think it's a good. I think it's a good one, but I think I can understand why they didn't keep it going past the first season. It's a shame because it did intrigue.
Is he not in any of the other things?
He's popped up in Arrow. I don't know if he's popped up in Flash. I think he's definitely popped up in Arrow. I think it's just Arrow.
Right, so not Legends of Tomorrow.
Not that I know of. The guy is very good, so I don't see why he couldn't. Why he couldn't pick it up in Legends of Tomorrow or turn up in I'd love to see, now they've done Suicide Squad, they've got Enchantress in there as well, which means they could start casting for Justice League Dark.
Yeah, wasn't Guillermo del Toro connected to that?
Yeah, I think he was.
I think he's moved on.
Yeah, I think he has, but I mean there's no reason why somebody else can't pick it up. I think now they've got these, they're starting to build up these characters in this DCCU. I think there's scope to do things like Justice League Dark, because they could do with a good Zatanna, because she's a good, you know, good magic character in the DC universe, and she's turned up in mainline DC because she was in, you know, the game they did. There was like Mortal Kombat, their take on Mortal Kombat called Injustice.
Yes, yeah.
She turned up in that as a playable character, and I thought, well, if she's in, I'm surprised Constantine's not in, because they're very similar. But yeah, I think she could definitely make an appearance in the DCCU somewhere. I don't know who I'd have playing her, but I'd have to think on that.
Fan casting.
I've heard a lot of things about. We should do more of that on TSW. We don't really do that.
No.
But I think that'd be cool. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what I think of Jared Leto's Joker, because I haven't really seen anything. I haven't seen the film, but everything I've heard is kind of not great.
I'm hearing a lot of mixed
yeah,
mixed,
I mean,
stuff.
I was listening to, I can't remember if I mentioned it last time we recorded, but I was listening to the podcast called We Three Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to it on, because as I've been saying,
Modern Family.
So I feel bad not sharing. I feel bad not giving the shows a go if they're sharing my stuff. So if somebody shares me, I will generally, have a look at the podcasts, and I will give them at least an episode, of time to kind of not impress me as such, because that's really arrogant sounding, but I'll give them a show. I'll give them an opportunity to make their way into my regular circulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be one episode. It might be two episodes. It really depends on how much I feel like I get from it in the first instance. If I listen to it and go, right, I know exactly what this show's about. You know, I know what I'm going to expect from every episode. I can make a decision based on that. But sometimes you need more than one show to make your mind up, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a thing about chemistry, isn't it? I think there's even shows by people who I genuinely admire, like Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Some of his shows I subscribed to everything at first. Mm-hmm. And then I dropped a few here and there because they just weren't working for me. Some of it's, I think, quite acquired and a little bit deep. Like, you have to be deep into fandom to sort of get anything out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I was listening to that, and they were talking about the Suicide Squad, because they all went and watched it. I get the feeling they live close to each other to be able to record weekly, which is, you know, it must be nice. Obviously, we have this down to a weekly, but I'd love to be able to get my other shows into a weekly circulation. But I really think I'd have to. I've been finding myself recently really kind of looking at my options in terms of reshaping formats of almost everything I do outside of Talk Star Wars.
Yeah.
I got some feedback about the videos I've been doing from one of the guys, Brad, I've mentioned him before. I like to give him a shout out when I can, especially when he has a good idea, which he did. He said that he thinks that some of the naming I use on some of the YouTube stuff, it's funny. They might be funny names, but they don't really get across what the thing's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so they're like, we might have a really, you know, we might have a segment on Talk Star Wars that might be a funny segment, but we wouldn't necessarily name it in a way that it's a funny line, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't really tell you what you're actually about to experience. So you're going to lose those people who are looking for, you know. So, like, the example is on Emotionally 14's YouTube channel, there's a thing I do called Man Baby Power Hour.
Yes, yeah.
And it's just me opening basically toys for grown-ups. You know, they're more sort of more grown-up toys. So the name's kind of fun, and it's got that sort of Saturday morning cartoon feel to it, which is what I was kind of aiming for, at least. But it doesn't necessarily get across what I'm doing in that video.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody comes to that, isn't going to understand what I'm doing just from viewing the name of the video.
Yeah, you're almost served best by having a subheading in there.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, if I'm doing that, then that's kind of wasted space for the purposes of the video, especially because obviously YouTube videos can be as long as you want in terms of title. But I'm thinking if you share it on Twitter, every word, every character you use in the name is one fewer character you can use on the tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm noticing a lot of places have much nicer, you know, like they have the sort of auto-generated tweets like by things like Crowdfire and Buffer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs look much nicer, I suspect, because they've got space to play with and they've also taken the time to go in and do proper artwork and things like that, which I haven't done. I've been very kind of very much a less is more kind of mentality when it comes to pictures and images of any kind. But it's, you know,
it takes a long time to work out these things as well.
Oh, 100%. And it's almost, I sometimes look at it and feel like, should I just kind of look at it in my head? Should I try and kind of think of it as me starting from scratch? Mentally, not necessarily, you know, literally, because obviously that would require probably renaming. But I think the, you know, the basic blog name is solid. I don't have a problem with the blog name. I think the blog name gets across everything you want it to, which is that we're going to be doing stuff that's, you know, young. It's kind of for the young at heart, and it's all about activities that sort of teenagers enjoy, but done by grown men.
A lot of drinking cider in the park. And vomiting on each other's shoes.
We should do one where we just get shit-faced on White Lightning, I guess. Yeah, yeah. But within that, I'm kind of looking at the names of things like the podcasts, and I probably won't change the podcast names because I just, you know, I'm quite attached to them, to be honest. But I'm just looking at names of videos and branding and stuff and thinking, does it really serve the purpose I want it to?
Mm.
So, you know, that's what I'm kind of working on at the moment. So, I mean, obviously, TSW fans, if you think of good ideas for things, if you watch these things and you find good ideas for stuff like, oh, you know, you should call your segment this, you should call your video series that, I'm more than happy to hear that stuff. And obviously, you know where you can find me on Twitter. That sort of thing is always welcome. I'm always up for hearing constructive criticism. I'm always up for hearing suggestions and feedback and stuff. I might not use them directly, so don't be, you know, if you're wanting to put ideas in and you definitely want me to take them up, maybe don't, because I can't guarantee I'm just going to say, oh, your idea is better than mine, because I might not agree with the mentality, because I'm sure I've been accused of being stubborn in the past by some, but really I just, if I can't see the logic to something, I'm not going to just throw myself at it because somebody said it and they might be a smart person. Doesn't necessarily mean they're right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one, mate.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had it as well. I'm sure you've had sort of armchair experts and armchair webmasters telling you how they do it better and so on.
Oh, yes. In the early days of this podcast, I was fielding a lot of unsolicited advice. And
really?
Yeah, and I took about mixing audio and things like that. But
oh, okay.
I would like to learn these things myself. It's all part of it for me.
Yeah, and I can see that. See that appeal.
The thing you were saying about like branding and the artwork for the podcasts and setting up, you know, well, basically just building a brand from scratch. I've made a lot of mistakes on our previous blog, the Movie Geeks Film News,
yeah,
and the magazine for which still exists. Well, I'm still running. I'm still running that alongside the Talk Star Wars magazine as well on Flipboard.
This is the Flipboard thing,
this is on Flipboard, yes. It's actually got, I mean, I can tell you, I can give you exact numbers of how many people subscribe to it, but I've got 17,000 followers on Flipboard.
That's ill.
But that's not the readership. The readership alone for Movie Geeks Film News on Flipboard is 39,133. And I've had 1.1 million articles read in that magazine. By comparison, I mean, Talk Styles is doing really well. That's already at 20,688 readers.
That's really good.
Over 500,000 articles read in that magazine. So I've gotten all my knocks and scrapes out on that previous blog.
Yes.
So what the conclusions I came to when I was starting Talk Styles, I'd already learnt my lesson over at MGFN, and I knew coming to this one what I wanted to do. Which is why the artwork hasn't really changed much since the first episode, and the YouTube versions are all pretty much the same. But
yeah,
you do have to learn somewhere, and I like to learn my own mistakes rather than someone coming along and giving me the answers to it. It's not that I'm resistant to being told things. I just that's why I do this, to learn learn stuff.
I get that. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I try and do similar. I've kind of done a few. We had a different approach in the past with regards to the blog. We didn't have any podcasts. We didn't have any YouTube stuff. We didn't have any original content for YouTube. It was all movie trailers. And it'd be stuff we were sent by PR companies. And we were very much, you know, we'd do reviews based on what we were sent. And we would do a lot of, like, put up movie trailers and things that we were sent. And we'd regurgitate a lot of press releases and things, not necessarily on the website, but we'd do it on the Facebook page, or we'd do it in, we'd put a trailer up on YouTube at their behest and things like that. And when I sort of got told I could run with it, I just decided to do different things because those things were a lot of work.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people understand that. I get the feeling certainly that a lot of people who listen to us probably have their own blogs and their own projects and their own ventures. So I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate that. It's not just about sitting down and spending 2 hours watching a film. It's also, you've got to solicit the review stuff, and you've got to, you know, set aside time. You don't just set aside the time to watch the film. You also set around about the same amount of time again to articulate your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I was listening to Kyle talk about how he used to do recaps on Rebels, and it'd be watching it and then watching it again.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
making notes and things. Yeah,
when I first started listening to them, I used to go back and read their Rebels reviews.
Yeah,
and I can imagine it was a lot of work because he used to go into it in a lot of depth. And I can see why you'd give it, not give it up, but I can certainly see why you'd scale that down.
That stuff is a lot of work, though, isn't it? I mean, writing anything is a lot of work. I wanted to get a quick article out this morning because there's something I want to talk to you about specifically in a minute. But I wanted to write a quick article this morning, so I had to get up really early, walk the dog, come back, and then whilst I was having breakfast, I was trying to get started on this little article. So I had to get all the images in place and brand everything and get all the code in place, if I wanted to put ads into the piece or I wanted to embed a video, I have to have all of those things lined up ready to go. And even though my Mac is now loaded with lots of little cheats and lots of little workarounds, keyboard shortcuts and everything to speed things up, it's still
time consuming.
It's still really time consuming.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because I love doing it.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, you do, if you want to kind of, it sounds really weird to say, but if you want to get really big, really fast, you have to view it as a second full-time job.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it has to slot in at the same time as your normal full-time job.
Yeah.
And so you almost have to be able to do, you have to be able to do, yeah, you almost have to be able to do both simultaneously, which is, it's hard. I mean, even just finding a time to reply to a tweet during the course of a normal work day can be really tricky. You know, it's not always the case, but I think most of the time you find, you're probably the same as me, you might have an hour or so where you just can't even remotely touch
social Twitter. Social media, yeah.
Yeah, you can't touch it because you've got to put your focus on a particular task, because otherwise you're not going to get it done.
Yeah, I do come back to Twitter from time to time and see, look, there's 20-odd notifications.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're usually always the same thing, the same sort of time of day, the same thing happens. I'm in a group where these tweets start flying out. And they're always really fascinating. There's always something in there for me to catch up with.
Mm-hmm.
But I see 20 notifications. Oh, it's the same thing in the mornings when I'm scheduling my tweets for the day, you know, those promo tweets. And then I get my Google alerts start coming through, and then I'm hit with this wave of anxiety. I think, oh, I've got to get through all these now.
Yeah.
I flick through all the Google alerts, and then it's like catching up on the rest of them at lunch or whatever, you know.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying, is you have to look at it like another full-time job.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's very hard.
It's hard.
But I mean, here's an example, right?
I love it so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great fun. But it is, you know, if you do have to sink a lot of your time and energy into it. And I'm sure, I know from experience that the listeners appreciate it, because obviously we get so much feedback from them, and you don't get that. You don't, from experience, you don't send emails to a show that you don't really follow that closely.
Hmm.
You know, we've clearly got a really great group of fans and stuff who are invested in this stuff.
Yeah, really, you know, good, really hopefully good people.
We're appointment listening for a lot of people. That would be a wonderful situation to be in.
Yeah.
No, but I think people appreciate, certainly the TSW listener base will appreciate how much effort goes into this stuff.
Yeah.
Especially as you do have a full-time job, which I think, don't you travel for as well?
A bit, yeah.
A bit, yeah. You're known to travel.
Yeah.
This is the thing, I'm kind of cut off from the world a lot during my commuting because I'm on the train and obviously I'm at the mercy of tunnels and crap signal and just areas being shittily developed in terms of architecture and so on.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I mean, Lisa bought for me last year. She got me an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And it was very intentional that I got this Apple Watch. And it's because if I'm driving and I get an alert go off, I can very quickly look at it. And if it's a tweet, I get to like or retweet from the watch without having to interact with my phone.
That's good. My phone does a similar thing from like the quick view. You can just, when you get a tweet, you can just, you know, you can like and retweet it straight away. If somebody follows you, you can instantly follow them back, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm a follow back kind of person. The only thing that annoys me, do you find it annoying when you get followed by somebody and then a couple of days later you spot that they've unfollowed you on the sly?
Yeah, we've covered this before and I do get frustrated by that, but I've got a little story to tell you, and I think it's probably a good opportunity for us to go to the next section.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I have a follow-back rule.
Yeah.
Where I started off with this with the best intentions, thinking, I'm just going to follow everybody. Everybody that follows me, I'm going to follow them back, because then we have open lines of communication. It was never designed to drive up follower numbers, because I understand that a lot of people look at hundreds of thousands of followers and think, they're not even real followers. It's all about, for me, the value is in the active followers and the community that we've built. This is the Talk Star Wars community, which you've already pointed out tonight. It's really important, and we value them. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think of them as fans, because I am a fan, but I think of us as a part of a community that we're doing this thing together.
Yeah.
And what frustrated me at the weekend was, do you remember I said to you at the weekend, I don't know what's happened. Maybe we've been mentioned on another podcast somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
The listenership went up by 200 overnight.
The listenership?
The following on Twitter went up by 200 overnight.
Wow, okay.
And I woke up in the morning, I was just scrolling through, just thinking,
what's going on?
I had to, like, follow everybody. Yeah. And I was going through following people, and I was thinking, what is this? This hashtag kept popping up. And I won't mention it, because I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but...
Yeah.
There was a hashtag that was very common to everybody and it didn't make any sense to me. I don't know what it means. But it was common to most of the 200 people. So I just went through, I just followed everybody.
Yeah.
And then I had two brute force attacks on the Twitter account.
Ah, okay.
And Twitter told me that there'd been unusual activity, so they suggested I change my password, so I changed my password.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened again. I changed my password again. I thought, clearly there's something.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to find an opening there. So I had to suspend my, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's only to me. I had to suspend my follow back rule. And most of those followers that I picked up have now gone.
Because they're probably bot accounts.
They're bots. And they've all got the egg as their avatar. More often than not, there's the egg as the avatar.
Of course.
And no tweets in their tweet history. Or if it's tweets, it's get 100,000 followers by clicking this link. So I thought, well, I'm not, until this goes away, I'm not going to follow back. So I have been following people back this week.
You've just been looking to see if they're definitely real people.
And if they're podcasters, I do it. And if I look at them, they've got a profile picture, I'll ignore the egg. But if they've got a profile picture, I'll go in, see how active they are, see what kind of tweets they're putting out, because I also get a lot of adult accounts that follow me, so they look normal.
Oh yeah, I've seen a couple of those. Yeah,
and then you open it up, and the pinned tweet is something really like shocking. I'm not a prude, but you know, I don't want.
Yeah, or it's like, oh, go to Snapchat and add this account, and I can tell you all about me. And it's like, I'll bet I know which bit.
And I don't. I hate the thought of somebody. You know, I like the fact that we're apart from this show, we're a family thing. So
yeah.
Kids can come on to Talk Star Wars and they're not going to see anything they shouldn't see. I don't have any ads on there that are going to be offensive.
And to be fair, you know,
them.
I think even when we're, you know, even when it's, what's it called? Even when we're after Dark Side, we're not that bad.
No, we could be a lot worse.
Oh, big time, yeah.
But you know, that might change when people start chucking us emails and questions every week. That might change considerably. But yeah, we're never. That's not the kind of people we are, though, is it? But you know, no. I won't follow those porny accounts because I don't want a kid that's following us on Twitter go looking who we're following and find out that we're following a bunch of adult Twitter accounts just because I haven't been responsible when I'm looking at who I'm following. So my follow back rule has only ever extended to accounts that aren't full of filth. And but yeah, I took it off the profile as well, the follow back thing, because it was only ever intended to build a community. It wasn't intended to build my following, because I know I'd rather have 1,500, I think, I don't know what I am at the moment, 1,700.
1,744, yeah.
Right, so I'd rather have that following of active users or genuine users who are, more often than not now, it's podcasters.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that community than 200,000 bots.
Oh, I'll generally try and follow podcasters as a matter of course.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not likely to be fakes.
No.
Like I say, they're sometimes guilty of the whole follow-unfollow rule. But as a general thing, they're not. Bloody hell. So I'm just looking at, you know, I take some interest in analytics.
Yeah.
Not a fanatical interest, but I do take some interest. These discussions that I'm going back and forth with people like Kyle and Jeremy are clearly making a difference because, fuck, that's not right. There's no way that's correct.
What's that, mate?
Well, yesterday I did 34 tweets over the course of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The impressions are 4,645. Right? Not bad.
Yeah.
You know, today, according to this, I've done 6 tweets. I know that's not true. And it's 4,100. I don't buy it.
Yeah. Yesterday, I've seen more than 6 tweets from you.
Yeah, I was tweeting at a bunch of podcasts yesterday and today, and I know there's replies in there because I remember the replies. I remember roughly what I said. But yeah, it seems to be a bit of a weird one there. Twitter analytics were all over the fucking place. There was one day where I hadn't tweeted one time, and it was like a Monday.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that I don't tweet as much on Monday as I do on sort of, you know, Friday, for example, because usually Friday I've got some shit to plug.
Yeah.
But I know that I wasn't tweeting nothing. You know, very odd.
That that little blip on my following at the weekend with all those botty accounts, as I think it's going to do my analytics some damage next month, because I've had 213,000 tweet impressions.
Fucking hell.
It's gone up 27%.
Yeah.
4,602.
Next month, you've got to live up to it.
Yeah. So it's going to take a knock next month, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this month, I'm looking at Emotionally 14s now, and it's been pretty steady, really, pretty much in line with what I did last month. So I think it's pretty much on track in terms of sticking to what I've been capable of. Oh, actually, some stuff's gone up higher, so that's fair enough. The impressions are lower, but I think that's just because I've not been. I'm still trying to work out what the best approach is for spamming stuff out. Because I really, you know, I know from experience that there are people who I won't name them specifically, but they might surprise you if I told you who they were.
Right.
Who've unfollowed Emotionally 14 because of how many links I send out on a daily basis.
Oh, right. Okay.
But ultimately, the argument I would use, and I would kind of tell this to anybody who's interested, is that I write these things, or I make these videos, or I take the time to edit these podcasts because I want as many people as possible to experience them.
Mm.
And the only way to do that in this modern world, with so many people having their own platforms, and everybody's got, you know, loads of people have podcasts, loads of people have blogs, loads of people have YouTube channels, they have gaming channels, they have gaming videos. The only way to get people to view it if you're not huge, like a PewDiePie or a, you know, or a Star Wars proper YouTube channel rather than like a fan site, the only way to do that stuff is to put it out as many times as possible. It's just a question. I think in my case, I just have to figure out where I put it because maybe I just haven't got the balance down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's one of those things. The other problem is I don't have the energy for it. you know, on a daily basis, I'm pretty tired at normal job. And then I come home and I've got to do extra shit on top. Nah. And that's it, the annoying thing is, I know it sounds lazy, but the reality is I'm just always feel so knackered on a daily basis. Some mornings it's really tough to get out of bed, just like, you know, just because I'm just feel exhausted already. And I've never done anything.
Yeah, this ended a week for me as well, because I've got two shows to edit and then two versions of each show, because I've got to do the iTunes version and the YouTube version and get all the artwork done and get it loaded and get it scheduled and everything. And then when it's done, I have those empty show notes again.
Yes.
And it all starts over. But
and it starts filling up again. How do you do, out of interest, how do you do the YouTube stuff? Because I've got mine down to a really sort of fine art when it comes to just doing the YouTube cut of the podcast.
Well, basically all I do is I use iMovie to edit the videos, because it's very, very simple. So I have a base show set up, and then because I use a lot of green screen stuff in the YouTube version, a lot of animated sequences that sort of put credits in, things like that, and animated curtains opening and closing, what have you. So all of that's loaded in a base show with what I've got, one Photoshop file, which is the artwork with curtains on the background. I'll just update that Photoshop file, and then I add that and do a replace on the current body, which is the art, which is the video content itself, and then I just drag the audio track in and export it. So it's very, very quick.
Okay.
But it's the converting and the loading.
Yes, the uploading can be a pain as well if it's a big
really
file.
Really is.
Yeah, I'm lucky in that, because I use Windows Media Player just for the podcast cuts.
Yeah.
I use HitFilm Express for any videos I make as of now. So at the moment, they're all kind of, obviously all the stuff's going up on YouTube at the moment. It's like the Man Baby Power Hour. That was all done in TrackAx before it went down.
Right.
So I was basically like rushing. I deliberately sort of left myself up until the point where it was going to be, I wasn't sure what was going to happen with TrackAx. I sort of decided, right, all the stuff that's on my backlog now, I'm going to finish and get it into a publishable state, so that if I can't use TrackAx anymore, I'm not completely stuffed with nothing to publish while I sort out a new software and learn how to use it.
Yeah, that's
what I left myself a buffer. Now, what happened was, and this has happened to me before, and this is one of those things, again, you have to kind of learn to work around your bad habits. And I know mine, and I learn more about them every day. If I have a buffer, for some reason, I'll sit on it and I'll hold off, and I will queue it up, and then I'll chuck things in ahead. I'll let certain things queue jump because they might be timely, for example, like Zboxes.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're month on month. The latest one's turned up. I still haven't done the video. I just can't be bothered this time around. It's not so much. Well,
that is just the attitude.
I'll do it, and I will do it. And once I do it, I know I'll have fun doing it. But it's just at the moment, I'm still working through publishing stuff. So I just want to kind of I want to clear my backlog out of publishing, ready to publish stuff. And then once I've done that, I want to hit new stuff and I want to try and get to a point where I can turn it around quicker. This is one of the things I was saying about, you know, consolidating all my videos into one brand.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking all the unboxing stuff can be sort of condensed down into one brand, rather than having like Zboxes, having Mad Baby Power Hours, got a separate another unboxing show that doesn't get as much of a look in. I think if I put them all under one brand and publish them, I reckon I can probably turn around something every week. And having a weekly show would be a lot easier to, you know, to schedule in. And also, I think it would probably bring a lot more people to the YouTube channel as well. And it doesn't mean that I can't do, you know, if we happen to be recording a podcast and we do a game of something, there's no reason why I can't do that, put that game in the YouTube channel in the same week. But it just means that there's always that regular piece of content.
Yeah.
Is that something I struggle with, is regular content on Emotionally 14? It's just because podcasting, obviously, I'm relying on the others to be free as much as I am, which is also, you know, it's difficult because when they're free, I'm not, and vice versa. So I'm relying on others for that, which is a pain. it's not their fault. It's not my fault. It's just one of those things that's a pain. With the unboxings, like I say, I've taken an approach of getting them all done in a single session, but then releasing them, sort of mixing and releasing them together. And I think what I'm going to start doing is recording them in smaller, more frequent bursts, rather than doing like the box of the brick of Heraclix. I might do individual boxes like weekly, mm-hmm. or one or two boxes weekly, that sort of thing, rather than doing 10 in a session and then trying to work out how to space them out. I just do two a week, then I'm good. It's all figuring out, like you said, it's all figuring out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, you've got to work out your schedule like this.
Yeah.
I've settled into a schedule with this now. And even though like last week we added the audio commentary for The Force Awakens and it added like, I had quite a lot of editing work to do that night.
Really?
Yeah. Because I had to build an intro for the episode.
Yeah.
And then we had two recordings, didn't we? Because we had a recording crash right at the end.
Oh yeah.
So I had to piece those together, which I think I did pretty much seamlessly.
Okay.
And then it was like loading it and finishing the art. I did two versions of the artwork as well, because obviously there's a VIP priority, and then there's the regular one that will hit the podcast mm-hmm. feed later in the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I can see that being something that I want to do more of later on, and perhaps spin it off and do. Ultimately, I see like the feeds splitting, so that this, whatever this thing becomes, the After Dark Side, even though I know people enjoy sort of the punky off book mm-hmm. style of it, it would be nice if it had something at the centre of it. So if, like the idea you had today of getting people to write in a question and we can build a conversation around it.
Yeah.
So at least we're freeform, but we've got some
base foundation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily, I mean, it might be a 10-minute discussion, but at least it's some, you know, it might be 10 minutes one week and an hour the next, but at least we've got something to kind of build an episode around. It's one of those things, I think, with Crazy Train, because it's a free-form, loose-form discussion, I rely on everybody to come in with stuff prepared, and they don't always have anything to say. Whereas if I had a more engaged community like Talk Star Wars does, I'd be able to get more questions in, and I'd be able to say, right, well, we've had a question, and this is a general thing about, you know, we might go off on a 20-minute tear about TV we used to like when we were kids.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of building in that foundation of people being invited into a chat.
Yeah, that's what Connor says he likes about the After Dark Side, isn't it? He said it's like listening to people talk in a pub.
Yeah, well, that's what I kind of, you know, I've kind of brought that to every project I've done eventually. I kind of put a Crazy Train feel in everything I do, just because I like to waffle.
Yeah, and it's good. I like the freeform stuff. And it's, you know, while we're doing this one, I'm always doing something like I've converted all the audio files for the editing I'm about to do.
Yeah.
Whilst we've been sitting here chatting, I've been working on those bits and pieces, and that was always the idea of this podcast to me. It was mm-hmm. how we shoot the shit whilst I'm winding down and getting everything prepped for the edit. But it will be fun to have some listener interaction and get somebody to sort of throw a subject in there, and we'll just go at it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
That might be interesting. Makes sense. And then we've got the audio commentaries coming. And then who knows what else?
Well, that's it. You know, I've still got that project I want to do for TSW.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna choose one of the two first to start off with. I think one's easier than the others, but then doesn't necessarily mean it's the one I want to do first.
No, of course.
So we'll see which one I end up doing.
Yeah, and I'm very nearly done now with kind of the admin side of Talk Star Wars with the sort of the building, at least for a while, I would think.
Mm-hmm. You can sort of use what you've got for a little while to just kind of, you can sort of coast on it for a bit, as it were.
Yeah, it's just to see what works now. So,
yeah.
I know we've sort of brought on some partners and
mm-hmm.
like our sponsor on the main show and the affiliates that I've signed up to. And that I still don't feel comfortable saying who it is that we're I've just got almost confirmation this evening that it's about to go.
Yeah, that's really cool. But it if is, it comes through, that'd be awesome.
It's a really big one.
Yeah.
And it's one that I really want on that homepage because I think it offers something to a specific demographic.
Yes.
That I know exists in our listenership.
Sure.
And
yeah, we'll keep that stum for now.
Yeah, it's prestige.
Because obviously there may not be anything to tell.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it. And
no, exactly.
But I know that I've spoken to them, and I know that they're keen to have us on board.
It's just a question of figuring it out.
If it doesn't happen, it won't be because they don't want to be associated with Talk Star Wars.
It just doesn't work.
It's purely a technical thing at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating me because it's been a couple of weeks trying to sort this out.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some good things sitting on that homepage at the moment. The Sideshow Collectibles one I'm really pleased with.
Mm.
All the Hot Toys, 6th scale, so 12-inch Hot Toys.
Yeah.
Fun.com and the T-shirt store. I'm really enjoying that stuff. But yeah, I'm so close to being done with the admin side of things that I can
just focus on whatever you want to do for next.
Get back into regular writing, and I'd like to sort of branch out and do a bit more video content. But
yeah, that'd be good. I'd say hopefully if I can do what I'll probably do is if I can get one of those projects off and running, I'll do a video that will then be transcribed for the. Because obviously not everybody has a chance to watch videos at work or wherever they're reading. So I always kind of have the idea of if I'm going to have something which is, it doesn't need the visuals, if I can put a transcription in, then obviously people can follow along that way as well.
Yeah. That'll be good. Right, I'm going to go because I can there's some wild animals outside my house making the most horrendous noise.
Oh, lovely. You're going to have to go and spray them with a cold hose.
I think I'll just go out and swear at them until they give up and go away. I think it's foxes.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Swear at them. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell them to fox off. Right. Let's get out of this rambling shambles of a podcast. Hopefully, if you've made it this far, A, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
B, thank you. And go home and rethink your life. But yeah,
it might really be home.
Email us. That's true. Email us a subject matter or something. Give us a bit of direction for this show. So that's another piece of work that you're doing us.
Yeah.
All right. I'm at Talk Star Wars on Twitter.
I'm at Rob Wave Vision.
We'll see you next week.
Bye bye.